Romans 14, if you've not been in my class, we've been going through the book of Romans, and let me just kind of give you a brief overview of the first 13 chapters. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and the gospel is for all. Now that we've got caught up through the first 13 chapters, chapter 13 starts out about Paul talking about how we ought to obey the government and those in authority. And it's, we know that. We know that's our responsibility, to obey the laws of the land. And we also know if something comes in conflict with God's law, that we're obligated to follow God's law. But Paul is not dealing with that because it's a rebellious issue. And Paul is dealing with it there because they allow themselves to be sidetracked from what their purpose is. Does that ever happen to you? You get so busy sometimes you start complaining and griping about something that you lose your focus on what is really the important thing. Does that ever happen in church? I wasn't around when this church building was built, but needless to say, there's probably somebody's feelings got hurt because something didn't suit them and the way that things went in the building. Maybe you didn't like a color or a fabric or a design or something. It happens. Every time you go to build a church building, somebody gets their feelings hurt, and a lot of times somebody leaves the church because they didn't get what they wanted or they didn't agree with what was done. And Paul is just saying here, look, pay your taxes. Just obey the law. Don't grumble and complain. Just do it and let's get on with the work. One day a man was going to cross the road to his mailbox to get his mail, and as he got his mail, he started back across the road and a car was coming right toward him. And so he darted back to the mailbox, and the car swerved and was coming right toward him again. So he ran and started back across the road. Again, the car swerved and was headed right for him. He went back to the mailbox again. The car started toward him. And again, he started to go back across the road. The car was coming right at him. And all of a sudden, the car just slammed on the brakes and came to a stop. The man was furious. He went to the driver's side of the door, and behind the steering wheel was a squirrel. The squirrel rolled down the window and he looked at the man and he said, "Now you know how I feel." Sometimes we have to know how other people feel. We have to know what's going on in their lives and where they come from. And that's what Paul's dealing with here in Romans chapter 14. We have three kids. And so they're all grown and moved out of the house now. And so one day the oldest comes and he says, "Dad, I want an earring." And so I pull out my little 25 caliber pistol and say, "Which ear?" And the other son comes and he says, "Dad, I want a tattoo." So I pull out a little blowtorch and I say, "Where at?" And our daughter says, "Dad, I want a miniskirt." And so I pull out the gun and the blowtorch. But I'm just kidding about that. But those are some things that we wrestle with, isn't it? That we have an opinion about, and our opinion is based on where we're coming from, isn't it? And so Paul says in verse 1, "Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat,
And let him not who does not eat judge him who eats. For God has received him. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he who gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another any more, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Keep in mind that Paul is writing to Christians, some who were Jews, some who were once Gentiles, but now they're Christians, they're family. They're all together in God's family. And so he's talking about things that deal with the Jews' practice for so many years, of things they could and could not eat, of special days that were set aside as feasts and festivals to commemorate God's presence and providential care over the Israelites during their illustrious career as God's people. And there's some confusion going on. Some of the Jews are wanting to hold on to some of these traditions and some of these ceremonies and things that were in the New Testament. But now that in the Old Testament, now that the New Testament is in effect, those are not required of a Christian. And it was causing some dissension between the Jews and the Gentile Christians. And it had become a real problem. And the Jews were more knowledgeable in the law than the Gentile Christians were. And so we know that some conduct is right, specifically spelled out, and some is wrong. We know that in the Bible there are some thou shalts and thou shalt nots, and they're specific. But then we know that there are some things in the Bible that are a matter of personal conviction, such as some of the things that we mentioned. Earrings, piercings, are they right or are they wrong? Depends on who you are. Depends on where you come from. You know, back in Exodus 21, I believe it is, if a master had a servant, after 7 years, that servant was allowed to go free. And if that servant had spouse, children, whatever, that servant was allowed to take those with him. But if that servant had a love and respect for the master and said, my master has been good to me, I want to stay, then that master would take an awl and pierce the ear of that servant, stating that that servant belongs to me, but yet he is free. He has willfully chosen to remain with me, but he may leave at any time of his choosing.
Now, we have all kinds of people in this world. And they have all kinds of different opinions. Some choose to get tattoos, some choose not to get tattoos. Tattoos are a taboo. Some have strong feelings for, some have strong feelings against. Some could care less one way or the other. Modesty. What is your definition of modesty? If I were to ask you to write on that yellow card, write down the definition of modesty, most of you probably would have to write, I can't define it, but I know it when I see it. What is modesty? What is immodesty? What were you taught growing up? Your definition of modesty and immodesty is going to be different than mine and the person sitting in front of you, behind you, maybe even beside of you because of our upbringing. But if I lined a lot of people up and you could go down and say, modest, modest, immodest, modest, modest, you could do that because you have an opinion, you see. And so these Gentiles were new to all of this that the Jews had been practicing for generations. That was the law to them. Do you know that we have laws on the books that just are kind of crazy? And there are laws that go on the book every year that state and federal legislators approve. And you know that some of them are never enforced. For instance, last year, 2017, the first of the year, a law went into effect that if you're driving on the interstate and if you're driving in the passing lane, but you're not passing anybody, that's illegal. You have to be driving in the right-hand lane unless you're passing somebody. So if you're in that left-hand lane and you are not passing somebody, I don't care if you're going 80 miles an hour, get out of my way. I'm coming through. And there's all kinds of things like that. I've never seen that enforced and probably never will. Did you know that it's illegal to be texting and driving at the same time? You shake your head, yes, I know that, but you do it anyway. Do you know that there is a big fine associated with that? You see, there are things that we're okay having a personal opinion about that does not necessarily have anything whatsoever to do with salvation, nor Christian living. Can a man have an earring and go to heaven? Well, can he? I think so. I don't read in my Bible where a man wearing an earring will keep him out of heaven. But I'm not going to wear one. But if I did, I don't think on the day of judgment that's going to keep me out of a home eternally with God. And so it's kind of this background, this mentality that Paul writes and he says, receive one who is weak in faith. Weak about what? About food. About what to eat. What not to eat. There were certain meats that the Jews could and could not eat. And you'll find a list of all of this stuff in Leviticus chapter 11. And there's some listed in Deuteronomy chapter 14. And they were not to eat these things. But now, under the new law, the Gentiles, they weren't going by, never had gone by that. And they weren't planning on going by that, and that was okay. They didn't have to. The Jews weren't allowed to eat meat that had been offered to idols and some type of sacrifice to an idol. Any of that leftover meat, the Jews could not eat that. But the Gentiles could go to the marketplace and buy that, and they wouldn't ask. It didn't matter to them. They could eat it. The Jew would say, now, where did this meat come from? Has it been offered to an idol? If it has, I can't buy it. I can't eat it. I can't have it. And so, you know, it's like if you're on a diet and you go with somebody and you're on a diet, you're restricted to things that you can and cannot eat because that's, You're trying to get healthy or lose weight. I'm on four diets. I couldn't get enough to eat on one, so I'm on four. But if you're on a diet and you go out with somebody, and let's just say you're not eating any red meat at this particular time, and somebody orders a great big old filet mignon, and they take a bite, and they say, man, this is good. You sure you don't want a bite? That's violating your conscience because you have made a decision that you're not going to eat that. You're going to be on a diet. But it's okay for them to eat it. Is it going to affect anything whatsoever? No. But now, if that person is struggling with that diet, and you tempt them with that meat and they eat it, they've got... their discipline and their self-control was not what it should be, and they would be considered as being weak in faith. And that's what the Jews considered the Gentiles, weak in faith. Receive one. In verse 2, for one believes he may eat all things. That's me. I believe I can eat all things. And sometimes I try it at one setting. But he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. You know, sometimes we fall into a category of one of two kinds of believers. First, there's the weak of faith. They go through the rituals, and they're Pharisaical. Oh, I know this law word for word. I can quote it. But to be able to have the faith, we see in the early part of the church that they just didn't have the faith. They were just following rules. And many of the rules they made up themselves as they were going along. And so a couple of, I guess, characteristics of those who are weak in faith is that they have a list of rules. And most of the time, their list is much longer than God's list. You see, God builds a fence and He puts boundaries around it and He says, thou shalt not do this. And basically, it's cross over that fence, climb over that fence. The Pharisees, those who are weak in faith but know the law, they build a fence that even extends out further and includes more things of thou shalt nots. And it only gets bigger and bigger. The boundaries get longer and wider. And those who are weak in faith will often criticize those who don't follow their list. Now, did I step on somebody's toes? Do you sometimes judge people based on what you see or what you think you see, only to find out that you have misjudged the circumstances, the situation, and the person themselves. Because you think you were smart enough, you summed it all up, you looked at all what you could see, and you summed it all up, and you thought what you thought. And you were wrong. You were 100% wrong. And that situation and that person wasn't anything close to what you had surmised. Maybe somebody's done you that way. Maybe they've misjudged you. Maybe you've been treated unfairly because someone assumed certain circumstances that were just not true. And so there are those who are weak in faith. But when Paul gets to Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, he says, "We then who are strong ought to bear the burdens, the weight of those who are weak." Do you know that there are people that you will come in contact with this week who have burdens, who are dealing with issues in their life that you have absolutely no idea? And you think, why don't they do this? Or how come they're doing that? And it just may be because their faith is weak. They need some encouragement. Here's what we do sometimes. What's the matter with those people? Don't they know anything? Don't they understand what this is all about? And we treat them that way in the spiritual world as we do in the secular world. And Paul says, look, bear the scruples of the weak, bear the burdens of the weak, not to please ourselves. Well, look back up in chapter 13. In verse 8, he says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another." Now, if you were to go to Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19 and going through verse 21, you're going to read what we normally refer to as a list of the lust of the flesh and things that we know are wrong, specifically that Paul mentions there through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. These things are wrong. But then he goes on to list, beginning in verse 23, the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, he says, there is no law. How are you doing with love? How are you doing with patience if you got young children or you get on the road driving? How are you doing with self-control? What's the one of those things that you need to be focusing on in your life that you're really struggling with? Work on those things. Don't get caught up, he says, in judging other people. If somebody has a special day in mind that he's talking about here, one esteems one day above another, and someone else esteems every day the same day. What difference does it make, Paul says? He's getting into issues that say, look, they don't matter. Don't be arguing. Don't be disputing. Don't be mumbling and groaning and complaining and backbiting and gossiping about people over things that do not matter. You know what we call it today? Small stuff. It's small stuff. Don't sweat the small stuff. Do you know what the number one hobby in the world is? Sweating small stuff. Worrying. Just getting caught up in things that do not matter. You go to a restaurant and you order a cheeseburger. Everything on it but tomato. You get your cheeseburger. Got a nice red ripe looking tomato on it. What do you do? Well, as a Christian who demands perfection, you take that thing back up there and you slap it on the counter. And you say, I ordered no tomato. And you want that fixed right. And not only that, but you think you ought to get your money back because they made the mistake. Listen, pull the tomato off of the cheeseburger, put it to the side, throw it away when you get done with it, give it to somebody else. But don't sweat the small stuff. Think about all the things that you've got worked up about this past week. You can't do it. You know why? You forgot most of it. Because it didn't amount to anything in the long run. And why worry about it? Paul says, look, the food does not matter. There are foods that God never intended for us to eat. Turnip greens is one of them. And there are others that God never intended for us to eat. But if somebody eats turnip greens, my wife loves turnip greens. And you know what I do? I let her get them out somewhere, don't fix them in the house. She can eat them out somewhere, and I'll pray for her. But it doesn't matter, you see. We get all worked up sometimes because come December 21st, people say that that's Jesus' birthday. Oh, no, it's not. You can't prove to me that Jesus was born on December 25th, but you know what? I can prove to you that Jesus was born. And that's the main thing. December the 25th gets people to think about Jesus Christ. And I'm okay with that. That doesn't bother me a bit. I had somebody one time, a church had bought new Lord's Supper communion set. And on top of the lids was a cross. And someone made a comment about how we're getting to be like Catholicism. And I said, heaven forbid we should think about the cross while we're taking the Lord's Supper. What's this world coming to? Paul says, look, verse 7, none of us lives to himself and no one dies to himself. It's not just about you. I know that comes as a shock to some of you, but it's not just about you. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. We ought to bear the burdens of the weak and not to please ourselves. Why? Because, look at this, in verse 10, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every single one of us. And we do not want to be guilty of judging somebody on something that has no bearing whatsoever on salvation.
Why? Because of three things here we see. Verse 3, God has received him. God has received me. God has received you. God has accepted us. Am I perfect? No. No. Are you perfect? I hate to tell you this, but no, you're not. But God accepts us even though we aren't. And we become Christians, we're baptized and we receive the forgiveness of our sins as we come in contact with the blood of Jesus. Are we ever going to sin again? Yes, but God accepts us when we come back to Him. And so we ought to be accepting of those who are weak in faith while we encourage to teach and help and strengthen them and bear the burdens. But we've got to love them because God accepted us. We need to accept them. And then we belong to the Lord. In verse 8, for if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's.
Every Christian belongs to the Lord. You have a biological family. You belong to that family. Now they can say, we disown you, but you belong to that family by blood. You can't change the blood. You cannot change the DNA. And if you're a Christian, you belong to the Lord. If your faith is weak, if you're struggling, if you're a new Christian, you belong to the Lord. And it's those who are strong in faith that help those. And then it says, we will be judged before the Lord. We are going to be judged. Do you like to be judged by people? I don't, because you know what? When people judge you, they're looking for something that's wrong. They're looking for something that they can be critical of. How do I know that? That's what I do when I judge somebody. How do you do it? That's generally the way it works. And I'm thankful that God is going to be the one who judges me. Because you see, I know I'm not perfect. I'm forgiven. But if I were standing before an individual or a group to be judged, they would have a hard time seeing past that imperfection and seeing that forgiveness and extending that grace and that mercy. And so as Christians, Paul says to the Romans and he says to us today, don't sweat the small stuff. We're in this thing together. We're trying to get to heaven and help everybody else get there as well. And so when you go out this week, don't be critical of somebody because they don't do things exactly the way you want to. If it's a matter of opinion, you know, someone once said, as far as Scripture is concerned, in matters of essential, let's have unity. In matters that are non-essential, let's have liberty, the freedom to have our own opinion about things. But in all things, let's have love. And so examine yourself this week to see if you are being a little too harsh on those who are weak in faith, on those who you do not feel are where they ought to be and are doing the things that you think they ought to be doing. Because each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Have a great week.